Working Class on DeerCast. We're sitting here. You could open your cold beverage. We're actually, if you want to know the truth, Lee somehow managed to be in the studio again. Like, you're our most frequent guest of all time and short out, but you're willing to help.
Yep.
And you helped me hang some tree stands on a farm today. And we went and got lunch at the Depot in New Windsor. Shout out to the Depot. Great place. And they have $1 hams on Wednesday that we're recording on. And Lee's never had a hams. So we figured we'd give a tribute to the older generation that grew up drinking a cold hams in hunting camp. And I think that's what we're going to do. Have you had a drink yet?
Nope.
All right. You got to give us a quick review on your hams. I think it's good.
Not bad.
I mean, it's a cold beer, right?
Yeah. I'd say it's between a Miller Lite and a Busch Light, flavor-wise.
It leans more towards the Miller Lite, probably. Yeah. Well, cool, man. Well, hey, we hung some stands this morning. Feel pretty good about them.
I like the spots. I think so. Dynamite.
Well, you and I got to talking kind of while hanging stands, and we thought we'd talk about just not generic, I guess. Maybe that's the term. Big buck stories. And then maybe a little bit of the ones that got away.
Yep.
Which is always like a fun, like, wise tale.
But big fish type stories.
Yeah. And you have probably one of the better ones. You were kind of telling me about this buck. And I think you've like told me about this deer in the past. But it's one of those deer that nobody should talk about if it's current and like current day.
Yes.
Fair?
Yeah, fair. It's one of those big ones that you don't hope gets away, but got away from me.
But break it down, because you didn't have like history with this thing, really.
No. So my full-time job, I'm a feed salesman, and I was headed to visit a customer, actually. And I was driving down, not really an interstate, more a busy highway. I wouldn't call it an interstate, but
like a two-lane.
It was a four-lane, but and I'm driving by this CRP field, and out in the CRP field, it's the middle of the rut. Let me preface it with that. It's November 16th, and I like, you know, like most of us, I pay more attention to fields during the rut than I do the road.
Right. Admittedly.
Yeah. Out in the CRP field, I see this buck and I lock up my brakes, pull over to the side of the road. I keep my binos in my truck all the time, you know. Mm-hmm. And I actually had my bow with me that day because I was planning on going hunting that evening. And this buck standing out there in the CRP field, and I throw the binos up and I look at it. It's one of those you look at it for... You couldn't really hear that, but a split second, and it was like, that's a Mondo, you know?
Yeah.
Probably one of the bigger deer I've ever seen on the hoof.
How far off like the road is he?
Probably 100 to 150 yards somewhere.
So there. So you saw him with your bare naked eye?
Yeah, I saw him with my naked eye. Well, he was standing.
Oh, I got you.
By the time I got looped around and pulled over to the side of the road, I watched him bed down by, it was in a big CRP field. And there's like, it was overgrown. So there's like willow patches and stuff out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched him bed down right by this willow patch and instantly I get on maps, you know?
Yeah.
And I start looking for the landowner. Well, the landowner was actually like it was a pair of brothers that owned it. One was like South Carolina and I can't remember the other state, but one was an Eastern state and one was a Southern state.
Mm-hmm.
And, so there's no looked up, try to find their phone number. Couldn't find their phone number. And I noticed they owned a field across the gravel road and there was actually, an ag company was spreading fertilizer, dry fertilizer. And I actually pulled into the field and stopped the spreader and he was like, what's going on? You need help with anything? And I said, well, no, I just need to know who owns this ground or if you know the guy that
bothered this guy. Yeah. Working. Yeah.
The deer was that big.
Yeah. Yeah. It was worth bothering the guy spreading fertilizer.
Yeah. So I was like, I don't know if you know the landowners or if you know the guy that farms it. But if you know where he lives, could I, you know, get that information from you? And he said, yeah, he just lives right around the corner. So I go to this guy's house and I knock on the door and I'm like, hey,
just bothering everybody
to try to get this deer killed.
Yeah.
I knock on the door and I'm like, hey, I know that you don't own the ground, but I see that you farm some ground that these guys own, you know, can you give me their number or can you give me permission? And he said, well, I have sole permission on all their, you know, I lease all
like
their
the
ground.
Farm lease. A lot of the farm leases come with a hunting
unless it's stated otherwise.
Yeah.
But he's like, so technically I can give you permission. And he's like, what's going on? I said, well, there's this giant bedded out by the road. And he was like, he didn't know what a big deer was.
Shout out to you, like, for being honest.
Yeah, it's the honesty is the best policy, man.
It is. It is. It definitely is.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of other people would have been like, no reason. I just want to know if I could hunt.
Yeah.
Or something, you know?
Yeah, and I figured, you know, it was just going to be a one-time ordeal because it was the middle of the rut. He was with a doe. I figured he'd be there, and that was it.
Yeah.
But he's like, yeah, that's fine. Go ahead, you know? So I'm in jeans.
What a gold mine you just found.
Yes, absolutely. And it was a big deer. Obviously, I never got to put a score to it, but...
Like, what are we talking for the sake of this story now? Now that you got permission, how big is this deer roughly?
I would have said...
Ballpark him. Humbly ballpark him.
I would have said close to the 200-inch mark.
Okay.
You know, from initially what I saw, I didn't spend a lot of time looking at him because I didn't want him to get buggy and take off.
Right. Just see he's big and then find out if you can get on him.
Yeah. Yep.
Very fair.
And that, in my head, that's what I thought. It was he's, you know, when I put the binos up, I was like, that's a 200-incher. Couldn't see much detail, but just that his frame was giant. So get permission. I'm in my cowboy boots, blue jeans, and I had a camo sweatshirt in my truck. And I threw the camo sweatshirt on, grabbed my bow. There's like the property butts up to a river, and there's like a levee that runs right along the river. So I get on the backside of the levee and take it all the way down. The wind was out of the northwest. It was on the south side.
Okay.
The levee was on the south side of where the deer was bedded. So
perfect. Yeah.
Perfect setup for a spot and stock whitetail. You know, I don't remember what podcast it was, but.
Well, it's just, you don't get opportunities often.
You don't hear spot and stock whitetail in Iowa stories very often.
Yeah. Not unless you're like whitetail adrenaline or one of them guys.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Yeah.
But anyways, I get to where I'm on the downwind side of where I saw him last. And the CRP is like, mid thigh high, mm-hmm. not quite waist high, but higher than your knee.
Yeah.
And he's bedded by this willow patch, and I crawl to where I'm probably 60 yards from the willow patch. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to sit down, glass for a few minutes and see if I can pick up his tines in the CRP. And I sit there for probably 5 or 10 minutes and nothing. So I'm like, well, it was the first time I ever spot and stalked anything. So I really had no idea what I was doing.
Yeah.
So I crawled another 20 yards and got to like 40 from the tree, the willow patch that I saw embedded by.
That's in there.
Yeah. I mean, that's in range at this point. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know, I'm going to sit up again. And I sat just on my butt and I glassed, nothing, didn't see anything. And I'm like, at this point, I'm like, I would think the CRP is not that tall. I would think I'd see him.
Yeah. You
know? So I was like, might as well go closer and see if I can get on him.
Mm-hmm.
And I crawl to where I'm 22 yards from that willow patch. And I sit there and I sit down and he picks his head up. And I can basically see from his
beams. Like, did he hear you or is he just doing normal things?
No, I think he was just picking his head up. He didn't hear me or nothing.
Yeah.
He sat up with his head and I could see his beams and up. And at this point, I'm like, whoa. Whoa.
Yeah, that you're in the ball. You're like, you're in his house right there. Yeah.
And, you know, I could actually see his antlers at that point. And it's like, okay, he is.
What you thought he was.
Freaking Mondo, you know. So, like I said, November 16th, he's locked down with a doe. He's bedded. I can see by the way he pivots his head and all that he's bedded broadside to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm at 22 yards. You know, I'm slam dunk range at this point.
Yeah.
And I sit there for probably, I don't know, 10 minutes. And I'm just like, come on, stand up. Like, you got to.
Yeah, right.
I'm right here. This is this close.
It's going to work.
You've got to stand up for me.
It's going
to
work.
And I was a little bit younger in my career. You know, it was 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit more impatient looking back now. You know.
Yeah.
If I could change things, I'd have just sat there and waited.
Waiting for him to stand up naturally.
Yep. So, but at the time, I get to my one knee because I'm thinking to myself, if he's bedded broadside, if I stand up, I can shoot him in his bed. And so I draw and I stand up. And when I stand up, there is a buck, like 150 inch 10 bedded like 5 yards from me that was on that hot doe with him. And he looked up at me and big old snort and up stood every deer. There was the decent 10 pointer, the big one, a doe, and six other small bucks all on this hot doe out in the middle of the CRP. And it was just, The doe stood up and she didn't know what happened. The buck stood up, and when he stood up, he pivoted facing away and stood there facing dead away from me. And I'm full draw at 22 yards. And this is where my moral aptitude took over, where, you know, do I take that shot up through him, not knowing the area, if he runs onto a neighbor's, not being able to get permission? And that's really not the most ethical thing.
Right. You're going for the Hail Mary, hoping a prayer.
Right. You know, cause I figured, well, that's a once, you know, I'm never going to get hunt here again, blah, 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 blah. I didn't. So he ended up spooking and running off. And they ran over to this patch, and I ended up, there was like a finger of trees that came off of this tree patch, and I ran over there, and I actually sat there the rest of the night, and almost the 10 pointer and him, every other buck except those two in the doe filtered back by me at one point.
No kidding.
Except for him. Yep.
Dang.
Yeah. So
what a story.
Yeah.
So you almost had, how big was Junk Brow?
Junk Brow was 204.
So was this buck bigger?
Here's a continuation. After I sat the rest of that night, I snuck out, got to my truck, and being that it, you know, I got that close, I went back to the guy's house to thank him for letting me go. And I was like, you know, maybe he'll just say, yeah, go ahead and hunt the rest of the time. Yeah. Cause he told me that nobody hunts it. So that's why he didn't care.
Yeah.
So I asked him, I was like, well, do you care if I like continue to hunt and try to kill him? And he was like, yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't, nobody hunts it. I don't care.
He's like, I don't care. Why are you asking?
Well, you don't need to ask. Like,
that's crazy. That's a gold mine alone.
Yeah. So I went and hung, two tree stands, excuse me, and two cameras, hunted there a couple more times, waited till right before shotgun season to pull the cameras, and had daylight pictures of him a couple more times. And actually, I've got a really cool set of pictures that, he was on a hot doe on November 26th or no 24th or 26th. I can't remember. I had pictures both of those days. I can't remember which day it was, but
yeah.
He's on a hot doe. So chasing
her. Just like a week later, pretty much
10 days. Yep.
Yeah.
So he's on her, chasing her. She cuts off, and then he comes and poses right in front of the camera and just turns, gives you this angle, looks at the camera straight, turns, gives you this angle.
Can we get those trail cam pictures?
Yeah, send them to you. Like I said, it was 5 years ago. And
is this buck alive or dead?
I hunted the farm the next 3 years and never had another picture of him.
Really?
Yep.
Was it just a random rut situation?
Well,
or did he get popped and just like a silent killer?
Yeah, I think he might have got shot that shotgun season.
Because
people walked through there. I mean, it was I was the sole permission on the farm, you know, for that year. But I had pictures of people shotgun season going through there.
Yeah, you don't know who, like.
Yeah. And it was an area that I've never hunted before. You know, I didn't know anything about the area. Just
No history, just a whim on a big buck.
Yep.
It's a good story, man. That's a fun story. That's actually like a dream situation for the most part. It's like, you didn't have, like, you kind of went high risk. You didn't have to worry about, like, boogering up a piece or pressuring a piece. And
it
just
didn't matter.
And it's cool. It's like, well, I can ask. What the worst I can say is no, or shoot you when you come up and think you're some sort of trespasser.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I've never had a situation anywhere like that where I ran into a buck, like, on the side of the road or nothing like that.
Yeah. See, I'm a traveling salesman, so, I mean.
You're driving a lot.
6 hours a day, you know, 5 to 6 hours a day, I'm behind the wheel.
Right. And see, you know, I have had it too, though. I think I'd be like, somebody probably hunts that, especially in Iowa.
Yeah. So when I first started my job, I knocked on 55 doors my first year because it was a new area that I wasn't from, and I didn't have any permission. And I knocked on 55 doors that first year, and that was my first year. And that was the only property that I got a yes on.
Out of 55.
The other 54 were, sorry, I hunt, or it's leased, or my kid hunts, or my cousin hunts, or whatever. But one out of 55.
Wow.
And I actually named that deer 55 for that reason.
But, no kidding.
Yep.
All right. That's pretty cool. That's cool. That's a cool statistic. Because I knock on some doors, but mostly it's like, oh, that piece looks interesting, or it's like more convenient or whatever, and then I'll make like phone calls from there. Or, you know, it never hurts to just knock on a door, call a farmer. Like, I called a farmer 2 years ago. He just had one creek line, nothing crazy. Hey, anybody hunt your creek line? Nope. Would you mind if I just put one stand down there? Like, you know, you won't even know I'm in there unless you see my stand or whatever, and that'll be fine. And like, it's like, wow, really? It was that easy. So it doesn't hurt to ask.
And it all depends on where you're at too, you know, where
Iowa and Illinois are tough.
Yeah. And where I was at in Iowa was, it was South Central Iowa where I was asking most permission.
The hardest place probably to get.
The hardest place to get permission.
Do you think South Central Iowa has become more of the, like, because always like Pike County, Illinois was like always the pocket.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not far, but what do you think's more, what do you think's harder to get grounded now? Like Pike County, Illinois, or do you think like South Central Iowa?
See, I don't know much about
Illinois.
Illinois in general, let alone Pike. I mean, I know that that was like part of the, what do you recall it, Golden Triangle or yeah. whatever.
I don't know if it's the same, if it's looked at as the Golden Triangle anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. But I know it's, from experience, it's very difficult to get permission in South Central Iowa.
Well, I think probably what might make Illinois a little harder is we allow non-residents to draw buck tags every year.
Yep.
So that makes it tough. You know, and we have good friends like Jeremy Beck. It's like, dude, I would not want to try and get ground in Illinois. It's just tough.
Yeah.
You know, you got to be willing to do things you're not normally willing to do. And some other states, you know,
right.
But Indiana could be just, as, I just know Illinois, that's where we're from, yeah. But like Indiana could be tough. The same thing. You can go buy, anybody can go buy a buck tag. Mm-hmm. Ohio, I'm sure is the same way. I'm sure Kentucky's tough early season because everybody wants to go kill like a velvet buck, Kentucky and Tennessee. I don't know. Is that on your radar?
Killing a velvet buck. I would like to kill one. I've actually got one this year that the last picture I've had of him, it was like 4 or 5 days ago, but he's still velvet up until this point. And we're,
it's weird.
We're
not far
10 days away from season. So I'm kind of hoping he holds his velvet, but
that'd be cool. If you're going to go kill a whitetail in velvet, what state would you try to go to?
Probably North Dakota.
I don't think I'd go east.
Yeah. I mean, Kentucky would be fun, but I don't know. I'm just something about North Dakota is somewhere
Eric has a permission piece in Kentucky that he'd go every year.
What are we doing sitting here?
Have you ever heard about it?
I think you talked about it on a podcast.
Okay, that's the only time. Yeah. It's like, what, Eric? He's like, oh, yeah. Just doesn't talk about those things. It's like,
I think we're taking a September trip next year, right?
We should. That'd be fun. I don't really have like a like that good of a like they got away story. Like, but, you know, it's like you think about in hindsight what you could have done differently. Yours would have been just like wait them out instead of trying to push it.
Yep, sit there.
You know, I had more of a season-long back and forth of the good buck that I ended up finding dead, I believe, from EHD. I'm not 100% sure, but that's where I'm leaning. That's what makes the most sense. And I don't know. I don't know what I could have done differently. It just was kind of like the cat and mouse.
Yeah, you were close on him a couple times.
Several times. But it's you're kind of playing the odds, right? You're just, you know, it's a wild animal. You sit there. It's the good spot for that wind. You think it's good. And I would see him, but it would just be like, I sit in one spot, I go to a different spot, he does something different. He was one of those deer that was on every trail camera.
Yep.
All the time. And so I even like took notes. Okay, he's here, 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 and here. Here's the winds. And I look at it and I'm like,
it didn't make sense why he was doing it.
Oh, he just does whatever he wants. Yeah. So what do you do? Until you know more, you can't do more.
Yeah.
So that's the one that got away. I found him dead, but at least I found him.
Yep.
Got the salvage tag, did all that deal, you know, of course. And
yep.
I don't know. That's the one that got away. There's several that get away, you know, but like yeah. That's one of the ones you remember. You're so close.
The one
close.
That hurts and stings.
The one that hurts. One of the bigger deer
yep.
I've ever chased. Just like that would be one of your bigger deer you've ever chased. That's what makes it memorable.
That's why it's hunting.
That's why it's hunting, man. But that's what makes it fun. That's why when it happens, it feels so damn good. You know?
Yep. The moment of truth where you actually get to squeeze the trigger on whatever weapon you're using is,
yeah.
To me, that's, I don't want to say the least fun part, but I enjoy the process and the chase almost more than the actual moment of harvest.
I agree with that. But I think that doesn't, you don't realize how fun it is. I mean, it's fun in the moment, but you don't realize how fun it is until you get to experience the moment of the shot.
Yep.
Because then you get your closure and then the story comes together and then, but it's still fun.
Oh, absolutely.
Like chasing elk, I didn't kill one with my bow.
Right.
But man, it was awesome. But if I would have killed one, it would have been an even better amplified story. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's up for debate.
And the one that got away story I just told, it would have been a lot cooler had he not gotten away.
It would have been way cooler. Yeah. But two is like, I think, and this will change as I get older, I'm sure. But I just still really like shooting deer and animals. Like, that's why I liked Africa so much.
Yeah.
You see a lot of animals, you get to shoot a lot of animals. I like shooting deer. I think it's really fun. Like, the process, and I'm not sugarcoating this, and I think some people, like, dance around this. I think killing deer is fun.
Yeah.
Like, I like shooting them. I think watching a fletching disappear in their body cavity is really fun.
Yeah, see, I'm not really that way. I mean, I think it's really fun, but yeah, I am not. I don't kill a lot of deer every year.
I have to.
I'm
I
one of those people.
I don't say I have to. I don't have to.
Right.
I just enjoy it a lot.
I'm one of those people that I might get one arrow off a year, and that's it.
See, do you shoot does?
Not really.
See, I love shooting does.
I don't really shoot does. The county that I hunt in, I actually got a doe tag this year because I logged on at midnight.
Yeah.
And got a doe tag for that county. I mean, when I was first starting bow hunting, I would shoot a few does just for the practice.
Yeah.
But I don't, you know, I hunt, when I go to hunt, it's for the big deer, and I more or less don't want to.
I get it and I respect it. Yeah. I get it and I respect it. But.
Yeah. I mean, I always get a doe tag every year for the one that stands there at 20 yards and snorts. Don't get me wrong.
I think it's fun to go in. Like, if I see a doe tonight, I'm putting meat on the table.
Yep.
I enjoy shooting the deer, and I think that process is fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, I plan on doing it as fast as I can this year. Like, if I go out opening day, I don't know if I'm going to be able to or not. If I get a shot at a doe, I'm going to shoot a doe.
Yeah.
Like, I just think it's a good time. But I get it, too. Like,
yeah.
But I don't know. Do you feel like people sugarcoat that whole kill harvest terminology?
Absolutely.
And what way, from your perspective?
Well, I think there are times where it needs to be sugarcoated. And there Agreed. Are times, you know, amongst us, saying you killed the deer is not that big of a deal.
Mm-hmm.
But you almost borderline have to be a little bit politically correct, more or less, when you're talking to somebody that you're trying to get into hunting or an anti-hunter.
Yeah.
To present the hunting community the best that you can.
Agreed.
You know, like
so,
I said,
so let me ask you this. Now saying that, you're out to eat, and like, say someone that doesn't hunt, and they're asking you about a hunt. Tell me about this buck or whatever. Like, are you like, yeah, when I harvested it, are you like, yeah, I killed this buck? Did you say, oh yeah, what'd you get this year? Oh, that's a better question. You're out to eat with someone that doesn't hunt, and they're like, hey, what'd you catch this year? Or whatever, however they
shot.
Oh, I shot a good buck.
A good buck. Yep.
That's okay. I probably say that more than I say kill.
Yep.
But I bet you it's 50-50 for me.
Really?
Oh, I killed a pretty good buck this year.
See, and I will say that amongst my hunting friends or the hunting community.
Yeah.
But I don't go as far to say, I harvested this.
Harvested? Look at the camera.
I'm not in a suit, you know. I harvested this buck on November or whatever.
Yeah, you harvest vegetables.
Yeah. You know, I say shot. Because I think
shot's
fair. I think it's a little bit, and even those anti-hunters, they understand that you're shooting them, you know?
Yeah.
That's the terminology I use. I don't use harvest. I use shot.
I have to pay attention to what I say. Because it depends on how you say it too. So I'm like, oh yeah, I killed it. If I say, oh, I killed a pretty good buck, it's kind of fast and natural.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I shot a pretty good buck, killed a pretty good buck.
Yeah.
I think that's in the same category, right?
Yeah. And anybody who understands hunting, I say killed, because I think it's just that next little level. I mean,
we should take a poll to see what people use. Yeah. Because I'll tell you this, like, I get the harvest thing, and the right time it's right, but sometimes I'm like, come on. It's corny.
Yeah.
Just say what you did.
A lot of times, like, on my social media posts, I'll say harvest just because.
Such a nerd.
I know. But there, you know,
I got to go back and look at my Facebook.
We talked about it on the Tracy Breen podcast that you just had.
Yeah.
About social media and that kind of stuff. And I just try to stay as polite, politically correct, whatever you want to say.
That's fair. That's fair. It's a safe way to play it.
Anybody can realistically share my Facebook post. And you got me wondering now. I got to
go back and look.
I say that and now all mine are going to say, oh, I killed or shot this buck.
Yeah, you know what? Like some of these, like I'm just looking at my most recent one was like my Gims buck.
Mm-hmm.
I don't say anything about the shot or harvest. I just say like this one, I'm beyond thankful for these experiences.
A lot of mine are worded that way too, where I don't even talk about the actual killing or shooting of it. It's
yeah.
I finally caught up with.
Oh, right here on my sable. I was lucky enough to get a 15-yard shot on this giant sable.
Yep.
So I'm not, I guess I,
now you got me wondering, I'm going to have to look.
Yeah, because it's so second nature to us. You forget
how you talk.
Yep. Because it's like, I feel like we're so in the culture of hunting. Like I don't even allude to a shot or a kill or a harvest in the water buck photo.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I go back and here's my mountain lion, I don't think I say anything about it. So maybe that's just the way to do it online. Don't allude to it. If there's a photo of the animal, they know you killed it.
Right. Clearly. Yeah. Now you got me curious. I'm going to look at
it's interesting conversation, right? Let's go. Let me pull up a, let's just see what other people do. And this is just quick off the cuff conversation. We'll go to the Drury Outdoors Facebook page. Shout out to Drury Outdoors and DeerCast. See, you know, like they're showing some of these a day ago, 7-year-old and a perfect 10 ring.
Brandon Jennings kid.
Yeah. They don't even allude to it. And I think that's probably the way to do it.
Yeah. And I think probably more people are that way than you would think. They don't even talk to the aspect of I killed him or I shot him.
But I guess with a photo, it's different though.
Right.
Because obviously it's dead.
So here in my junk brow post, I said, I'm speechless. As a deer hunter, you grow up dreaming of an opportunity to hunt a deer of this caliber, let alone actually harvest one.
What a nerd you are. Okay, that's fair, right?
And to be honest with you on this,
when the photo is with it, it's different.
When I posted about Junk Brow, I knew that he was big, so I was super cautious because I didn't want all the crazy blowback. So I made sure I worded everything right.
You got to.
I was more political because it's not like it was 160-inch deer, you know?
Right. World class style deer.
It gets more attention with a deer like that than a.
Well, especially with like incher. Eric's giraffe.
Yes.
You know, I think specifically how we worded it was Eric murdered this giraffe. I'm kidding. And we were very thought out on it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, it's because that's like CNN category type of animal.
That's a little different than even a 200-inch whitetail.
We nicknamed this giraffe Jeffrey, and Eric hit it with a subpar. You know what I mean? It's like no, it's very ethical and you know that's a chance for education.
Yep.
For a lot of people who aren't familiar with it, you know, even hunters, you know, because that's so out of the box from from what you normally
see. A giraffe. Yeah.
I don't know. It's a great conversation.
Yeah.
Is it beat down? Is this beat down conversation a little bit? Maybe the angle we're taking.
I think it's had a lot, but I think it's important.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think education is our biggest advocate for what we do.
100%.
So I'm always, it's the same in agriculture. 1% of all people in the agriculture industry or the hunting industry are what give the 99%ers the bad name.
It's definitely.
The 1% of people who don't do things right that more, I don't want to say ruin it, but give us a bad name.
Yeah.
So I think, and those speak louder.
For sure. You're right.
Everything I can do to promote hunting as politically correct as I can, more or less, with still being true about it, I do. Because I think.
I get that.
The more of us 99% that speak louder and more proper.
And the better the outlook is for
the better the outlook. And I know, I mean, obviously you guys are rough cut, raw.
See, but we get, I don't know what the percentage breakdown would be, but that's like, if we hear something negative about our crew, that's what it's about.
Yeah.
Like you're drinking beer and cussing, whatever, but
right.
I'm just doing what we all do,
but there's nobody more. We all do it, but you know, as I've become closer friends with you guys, there's not a group of friends that I've had that's you know, all my friends that I've ever hung out with are ethical. They don't do any, you know, they don't poach. They don't do anything wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
And you guys are, I mean, as true to that as anybody, you know?
Yeah, I'd say, like, maybe if you don't know us, it's a misconception that we're reckless.
Right.
Like, in decision-making when it comes to hunting, I think not so reckless. Conversational-wise, we care a lot less.
Right.
Because it's different.
And you look like a felon.
I look like I have a felony. That's my favorite joke. I made that joke in Africa because they're like, what's up with the tattoos? I'm like, I did some time. And then he's like, I was like, I'm just kidding. And then, but that did, like, my sarcasm didn't really like translate well over there. And I'm like, oh, this joke isn't going as planned. It's like, I never went to jail for the record.
Yeah.
Like, I'm good. Clean record.
Yeah.
Can own and can shoot a firearm.
Correct.
Turns out. So, but it's funny I said that. He's like, oh, really? What'd you do time for? And then I'm just like, I'm kidding. Before this goes any further, not a felon. But speaking of which, I think I'm going back with a rifle, my second ever rifle hunt, to try and fill my elk tag.
You got to.
Yeah.
Especially with Wyoming changing that. I think they changed it to like less percentage of tags are delegated to out-of-state.
Yeah, I've been seeing some of that. And I don't think it's for elk and deer.
Okay. But with point creep, you know.
There's point creep.
It's realistically, you could, because you drew with four, right? I think. And Austin had four and didn't draw.
Four or five.
Right. Because I think Austin had four.
Four was 50-50. Five was 100%.
Okay. Because I knew Austin had four and didn't draw.
Don't quote me on that. That might be wrong.
Right. But, you know.
Could be 6 years for a draw again.
Right. By the time you get more points, it's 6 years, you know. And
yeah.
You can't let a tag like that go unharvested. And I was the same with mine when I killed my elk in Wyoming.
I got no shame.
I shot mine with a rifle because I'm not burning all that money to take a trip.
I'm actually looking forward to it.
I think you should shoot the cowboy gun.
I'm going to try to get a 30-30. Trey's got a 30-30. He's like, oh, boy, I'll try and shoot one with that. But it's almost good for you to do a hunt like that every so often.
It's fun to change it up.
Because it's been 4 or 5 years since I shot a deer or an animal with a rifle.
Yep.
So that's like probably a good cycle to be on.
Yeah.
You know, keep you updated with it. And it's fun, too.
Yeah.
It's different.
Yep. Different than running an arrow through one.
Yeah, so we'll see. Might get some crap for it, but that's okay. I don't really care.
you don't come off as the kind of person who cares what people think of you, Kurt.
Why is that?
Just the way you talk and you say it literally all the time.
Oh, yeah,
don't care what people
say. You mean my neck tattoo, right? That's what you were saying without saying it. Yeah. I see where you're going. And Lee's in a cult and he's over here giving me crap about my neck tattoo. I thought this conversation was fun. The one that got away, harvest, kill, shoot conversation, always good to have probably.
Yeah.
And
it's fun to have these relaxed, just kind of BS podcasts every once in a while.
I like the open-minded to see where it goes, because you always get into like those little tidbits that are like a good debatable
rabbit trail type stuff.
Rabbit trail. Yes. Yes.
Absolutely.
Well, cool, man. Well, thanks. Where can people find you in your cult?
Just so you guys know, I'm not in a cult. I'm not a cult leader.
It's kind of a cult.
Yeah. Okay. Facebook, Instagram, Lee Herr. I think on both of them. I don't really know what my handle
or if you
is.
Thought you liked Lee, just look at the other 40 podcasts we've done with him in the last 2 months.
Oh, I haven't been on that many. This is my third DeerCast one. I've sat in on one WCB other than mine, I think. The Tracy Breen one that just is going to get posted here.
Yeah, it'll be, as in real time, like tomorrow.
Yeah, yep.
But who knows when this one will get
posted. Yeah, true.
So
podcast
land is different than real land, you know? Not to be confused with Taylor Land. So, is that stupid?
That was pretty corny.
Okay. Well, a lot of things going on here with our podcast. It's corn. It's corn. All right, guys. We're getting out of here. This is getting out of hand. You know what to do. Go shoot a giant. Thanks for tuning in, watching, and listening. Later.